From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Storm Dennis is done and the sun is out, which is bad news for his owners. Today, we'll be looking at who's reigning in Fantasyland and getting a full forecast for Game Week 27. Hello to you, FPL boss. Thanks for joining us here on the Fantasy Premier League podcast. With Game Week 26 now finally over, we're joined by Duncan Alexander, co-founder of Opta UK.
Hi, James.
Hi, Duncan. Journalist Tom Williams also with us.
Hello, James.
Hi, Tom. And also in from the FPL family, Lee Bonfield.
Hello, James.
Hi to you, Lee. Finally over. How was it for you guys?
Wasn't too bad in the end. 66 points, which is enough for a little green arrow for me, so not bad.
Lovely stuff. Lee, you're currently 73,000th.
Ish, yeah, something about there, yeah.
Toms, you're roaring along, aren't you? You've got slightly fewer points this week, but in the top 45,000 in the world. You have Kevin De Bruyne in your team, as did Lee, as did Duncan. But Duncan, you wildcarded.
Yeah, so before this long and became even longer game week, I had a long think and thought it was time. I wanted to get Aguero into the team because right. I thought that he would demolish West Ham. Narrator, he didn't. And yeah, it was quite painful to see De Bruyne racking up the points because he was obviously another valid choice for captain for this right. week. But there we go, you live and learn. But I managed to get some, you know, left field options in. I'm playing snookers now, essentially.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Now, what were the big lessons that we can draw from the kind of 12 days of game week 26? One of the big developments will be the injury to Son Heung-min, which we'll be touching on a little bit later. I know, Tom, both you and I were looking to actually bring him in for game week 27, so that's quite a major change. Mm.
Yes, and as we were discussing in the green room, in that band of midfield players, apart from Kevin De Bruyne, who everyone already has, there's no one else apart from Son that offers you anything like those kinds of returns. Mm. So it means that if you're replacing him, unless you're going to break the bank and double up on Salah and Mane, for example, you're generally looking at getting in someone a bit cheaper, which right. then frees up funds elsewhere.
Mm. In terms of transfers in and out since our last show, Dean Henderson's been brought in by almost 180,000 managers. Is he now the best goalkeeping option, do you think, Lee?
I think he is, and I think he's proved that throughout the season. But just be wary of the fact that he's obviously got a blank in game week 28.
Right.
He might not play in 31. And there's an upcoming game against his parent club, Manchester United. So if you have got him, make sure he's got
true.
A decent backup.
So three of the remaining game weeks, he's not going to feature in.
He's going to miss some minutes, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, right. Stephen Bergwijn's another popular choice. 120,000 bringing in a Spurs new acquisition from PSV. Are you down with that, Tom?
No, at least not currently. I mean, one thing you would say about Bergwijn and Lucas Moura falls into this category as well is that with Harry Kane and Son Heung-min being sidelined, they, you assume, are going to play an even more central attacking role, theoretically should find themselves in even more goal-scoring positions. We saw Bergwijn score that lovely volley on his Spurs debut, so he obviously knows where the goal is, but my feeling with new signings, particularly players coming to the Premier League from outside and also coming in mid-season, is just to sort of hold off and see how they settle in.
I think the only thing you can say there maybe as a contrary thing is Bruno Fernandes at United, who has settled in really well, looks really creative, is kind of providing something they don't have, and you can't really see him being dropped at any point soon, unless he gets injured, of course.
Bergwijn in particular, I think Jose's liked to play him on the left, hasn't he, so far? Not going to have much competition there now that Son's injured. So I think he's not only hit the ground running, as you were saying there, Tom, but also I think pretty guaranteed starts.
OK. Let's have a look then at Game Week 27's fixtures. Right, we're picking up some of this weekend's matches that look like they could be of particular interest to fantasy managers. Tom, you've opted for Arsenal against Everton.
Yes, I'm actually going to this game, so I'll be able to keep an even closer eye on the FPL assets in this one than I would ordinarily. Two teams in excellent form under new managers. Arsenal going into the game off the back of that 4-0 win over Newcastle last weekend, which felt like it blew off some of the cobwebs after quite a stodgy run of draws. And a lot of their big-name forward players returning in that game. 17 points for Nicola Pepe, who looks like potentially he's now coming into a bit of form. 8 points for Ozil, 8 points at Aubameyang. And then, interestingly, Alexander Lacazette coming off the bench late on, having started on the bench and getting a goal and an assist. So you wonder whether that'll be enough to have played his way back into the team. On the other side of the pitch, Everton also in a very good run of form. Richarlison, who's now playing through the middle, his last five game weeks, he's returned in four of those.
Right.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin is playing alongside him and is also quite attractively priced. He's returned in three of his last four games. The one asterisk beside the Everton players is that their fixtures over the next few weeks are a bit fiddly. Yes. Arsenal away, Manchester United at home, Chelsea away and Liverpool at home. Now, their form in the last few weeks couldn't be much better, so they're going into that run of games with a decent bit of momentum, but might be something worth bearing in mind when you're sort of planning ahead.
All right, do you have Everton assets?
I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Are you hanging on to him through these testing times?
Yes.
Duncan, you're nodding you are.
Yeah, I went in on Calvert-Lewin quite early and he's been very good for me. I've also recently brought in Luca Dean as well because obviously a big star last season in FPL. Slow start to this campaign, but he has been, you know, one of the creative hubs under Ancelotti. I think Everton, you know, they've improved probably more than any other team over the last couple of months. And Richarlison definitely offers a Son alternative in midfield.
Yeah, I think certainly those fixtures that Tom pointed out there, Arsenal away, yes, it's tricky, but I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin can score in that game. Whether they can keep clean sheets or not, I don't know. I've got Holgate right now, and I'm thinking about transferring him out. Then it's Manchester United at home. I think they can score points in that game too. And then Chelsea away. Chelsea, you know, at home at Stamford Bridge, not looking that great recently. So although they're all red on the fixture ticker, I'd argue that actually Dominic Calvert-Lewin is worth keeping, for sure.
OK. Well, returning to this weekend's games then, Lee, what's your fixture? Where do you see the fantasy value?
So I'm going for Chelsea versus Spurs. And Chelsea in poor form, really. Only won one of their last six games. Spurs, conversely, only lost one of their last five. So they're actually in pretty good form. What's interesting to point out from an FPL perspective in this game is that it's really difficult to put your finger on who could be the FPL asset that's going to jump out at us during this game. Frank Lampard's got loads of injuries right now. I mean, not that we would necessarily look at Kante or I guess some of us have looked at Callum Hudson-Odoi in the past, but both of those guys picked up knocks last game week. So that's going to impact the game. Tammy Abraham's still nursing that ankle injury. So it's kind of difficult to know where to go in FPL with Chelsea. And then when you look at Spurs, we've already mentioned before though, the talismanic figures of Kane and Son not around. So we're kind of scratching around a little bit with can Bergwijn keep up his good start? Can Dele Alli potentially play out of position? So I think it's a fascinating matchup, certainly in the context of fourth in the Premier League.
How much do you think Son's absence, and I don't know if you were able to see them in their midweek performance in the Champions League, but how much do you think Son's absence is going to impact on other assets like Dele Alli, like Lucas Moura, but just the way that the team seem to lack any kind of reference point up top now?
Well, they did play Alli up front in that game, and he missed a pretty good... He completely missed a header at one point, and he had a good headed chance against Villa last week and missed that as well. And obviously, in recent seasons, his aerial kind of prowess has been pretty good. Mm. So he definitely looks like he's out of form at the moment.
I think James is right to bring up the topic, though. It's definitely going to impact the dynamic of Spurs. Their whole team is set up in a very Kane orientated way, so they play it fairly long sometimes, they go fairly direct, he holds it up and brings the others into play. Now, Son's been doing an all right job at that in his absence. Dele Alli will do probably a worse job than Son, so they're struggling to find someone that's going to play that role for them, I think.
From Chelsea's point of view, what about Olivier Giroud, who seemed to brighten the team considerably when he came on against Man United? Are we going to see more of him, do you think, Tom? Could that possibly be something to explore?
I mean, it will depend on Tammy Abraham's fitness. We know that when he's fit, he starts. In his absence, it's been Michy Batshuayi starting rather than Giroud, and his form has been pretty dreadful. And we saw from that very fleeting cameo how effective Giroud can be when he came on towards the end of the game against Man United on Monday. So, I mean, based on form, if Abraham isn't able to return in time for this weekend's game, you'd think that Giroud has earned the right to start. And if he does, 6.5 million, only 1% ownership, could be quite a handy differential. But given the the big question mark over whether he is going to start, that would be a bit of a punt.
Yeah, it would be a considerable punt. Duncan, tell us about Leicester's clash with Man City.
Yeah, obviously it's a big game generally, but I think in FPL terms, we've got the most creative player in the Premier League last season, Maddison, who's a bit off form, against probably the most creative player in the Premier League of the last decade, Kevin De Bruyne, who is closing in on that Premier League record of 20 assists in a single season. And then up front, you've got players, Jamie Vardy, who some people are persevering with. I lost faith last week. But he has scored more league goals against the Pep Guardiola team than any other player in Pep's career. So, you know, he tends to do well against City.
He scored against City last time they faced each other, but he hasn't scored a Premier League goal since then.
True. Exactly. Yeah. So is he out of form or is he due a big goal? That is the question.
Well, every week I think he's due a big goal.
Yeah, true. And then on the other side, you've obviously got Jesus and Aguero. Now, neither of whom scored in midweek against West Ham, but both had good chances. And Jesus has got a particularly good record against Leicester. So, you know, either one of those would be an option, I think.
Man City have Champions League following this game. Not sure how much that's going to influence Pep's team selection, but always a bit of a mystery, that one, of course. Where do you stand on Leicester assets? I've hung on to Vardy, and I've still got Perez knocking around as well.
Wow. I've still got three. I've still got Soyuncu, Madison and Vardy. I think this may be the week that I cut my losses on James Madison, but given Vardy's good form against Man City in recent years and the fact that Leicester have got a really nice run of fixtures after this trip to City, I think I'll probably hang on to him and I'll probably keep faith with Soyuncu as well.
The only one I've got left is Harvey Barnes. I say left, I actually brought him in because he's in good form. He's only 2.5% selected. He's returned in his last four games as well. So
he's a nice pick. I think FPL managers have actually been reluctant to go to him because kind of sticking with the Madisons and the Vardys. I'm on Vardy right now. I really want to sell him. But as Tom was saying, I'm kind of reluctant to sell because actually, you know, they do play in game week 28, which we know is going to be difficult to navigate with those blanks. They've got a nice fixture against Norwich. And then after that, it's Aston Villa at home and then it gets better. So, yeah, a kind of reluctant hold for me, I think.
Lee, I sympathise with your confusion over Jamie Vardy because I'm in the same quandary myself. But he's got to be due for a big haul, surely. Reminded that you can check out all the latest team news right up to the deadline, which is 11:30 UK time Saturday morning, on the Premier League's team news page. Next up, we'll be doing some more of that long-term thinking in Longview. Longview, everybody, having a look at what's in store beyond the next game week. And we've touched on Leicester's very friendly-looking fixtures, but another team who've got great matches on the way, and there's a lot of people saying we should even triple up on their assets, and that is your Wolverhampton Wanderers. Hey, Tom, how many Wolves have you got in?
Currently only the one Wolf.
A lone Wolf.
A lone Wolf in the shape of Adama Traore. But as you say, lots of attractive assets in the Wolves lineup. Raul Jimenez being an obvious one. But at the other end of the pitch, where we perhaps haven't spoken about Wolves as much, people like Roman Saiss, Willy Bolly, very attractively priced. Yeah. And with that run of fixtures they've got, home to Norwich this weekend, away at Spurs, and then home to Brighton, away at West Ham, home to Bournemouth, away at Villa. Really nice run of games. The one potential factor that could upset the apple cart is Wolves' involvement in the Europa League.
Right.
So we wait to see how that will impact on team rotation. But certainly some attractively priced players and a really attractive looking run of games.
Right. Wolves have games in the Europa League this Thursday and next week on Thursday as well. And that seemed to have a bit of a bearing on their Premier League performances back at the start of the season. On the plus side, though, they will be having a fixture in game week 28. In game week 31, when a lot of teams will blank, they are guaranteed a fixture. So, and as Tom was saying, they've got great matches coming up in the meantime. Who would you recommend from Wolves then? And would you triple up?
I would triple up. Yes, I would. Given the certainty over 28 and 31 in those game weeks, yes, absolutely. I noticed Tom mentioned Willy Bolly there coming back from injury. And since he's been back, they've looked defensively very, very solid. Not quite so good going forward, actually. 2-0, so great for defenders, not so great for Jimenez and Traore owners. But also I noticed in the Leicester game last game week, every set piece that they took Wolves, they were aiming at Willy Bolly's head. Right. And were it not for a fairly questionable VAR call, could have had the goal, could have had a double-digit haul, and we'd all be sitting here saying, you know, he's borderline essential right now.
Right.
I also like Roman Saiss. If you need to save, you know, 0.3, I think is the difference. So if you're really penny-pinching, Roman Saiss is okay. But Willy Bolly looks like a really nice option, yeah, for
sure. All right, Connor Cody and Doherty are the two other big options at the back for Wolves. Duncan, how many Wolves players have you got? Are you going to have?
I've just got the lone Wolf Traore, like Tom.
Right.
But I think Jota is underperforming recently. He's basically way behind his XG. So he's going to come good in the next few weeks in terms of goal scoring.
Okay. None of us have Jimenez.
No.
And none of us are bringing him in?
Don't think so.
Okay.
If you want a really left-field choice, and I know we said don't buy new players, but Daniel Podence, owned by 0.0% of players.
Oh, wow. Literally nobody's got him.
Apparently. And you think with the...
I feel rotten for him. Somebody buy him.
Yeah, I might buy him because, you know, to make him feel better. And also because if they are going to rotate the squad with all these Europa League games,
right,
he's come on as a sub in the last two games. So, you know, and he is a pretty good player. So
How much is he?
He's 5.5, so he's not super budget, but he's got the potential to be a huge kind of differential for you.
Okay, interesting. Looking at the fixtures... 120,000 managers have got rid of Jack Grealish, whose form has kind of been better than any of his. It's kind of outweighed the fixtures for Villa of late. Is that still the case, or is it time to move him on, given that they blank in game week 28?
No, I can see why people are selling. Yeah, if you look at the fixtures, but been so good,
he's
isn't
so
he?
Good,
in recent weeks, and he just, if anything's going to happen at Aston Villa, it comes through him. He's been in my team for the last, I think, 4 or 5 game weeks and been
right.
Sensational. So yeah, I would keep.
You just brought in Samatta with your wild card, haven't you, Duncan?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you think, he scored in his debut.
Yeah.
And he sort of scored in the second game. It was an own goal, wasn't it? But, I mean, he would have scored. If he's getting into good positions.
I like him. I think he gives more to Aston Villa than Wesley was doing previously
right.
in the season, yeah.
And he's going to get on the end of... I mean, Villa are pretty good at free kicks and set pieces.
Yeah.
So I think a Grealish-Samatta combo is not, you know,
but I think
mad.
Also the arrival of Samatta makes... Grealish a slightly more defendable asset as well, given that there's now an outlet for
Well, he also seems to be kind of elevating himself to another level. I mean, a lot of people were a bit sceptical about Grealish before the start of the season. You know, could he make an impact on the Premier League? But he's almost, outside the big clubs, he's the most effective player, I'd say.
I agree with James there. I think Samatta is almost kind of offering himself as an alternative to Grealish. Every time Villa were playing, it was like, well, it's Grealish or nothing. If he can produce a world-class shot or a world-class pass, then we'll win the game, otherwise we won't. Certainly the last couple of games I've watched Samatta play, he's taken that burden a little bit off of Grealish, and they seem to have struck up a bit of a relationship already. So, yeah, nice pick. I guess he's 0.0, is he, Duncan, again? Like Podence or 0.1?
No, I reckon one or two people might have got on Samatta. How much does he cost, Duncan?
So he's owned by 0.3.
Right, okay.
One of which is me, as we've discussed. and he's 6, so he's quite expensive.
6 million?
Yeah.
But, you know, for a forward, that's...
Yeah.
That's pretty reasonable. The fixture's not so much. They are away to Southampton. This weekend, Southampton, the team that's conceded more goals at home than anybody in the Premier League. So that's not necessarily a bad fixture for them, but they don't have one in game week 28. After that, away at Leicester, at home to Chelsea, away at Newcastle, at home to Wolves. You wildcarded last week. And what was behind that, Duncan? Boredom?
Yeah, partly. I was walking my dog and suddenly panicked about the imminent match day and thought, well, I wanted to get Aguero in and
right.
the way to do it. But it was quite enjoyable. I mean,
okay.
I ransacked my team and rebuilt it.
Just in terms of, you know, anyone who's not done their spreadsheet yet, what time frame should we be looking at for getting our chips into play? Your bench boost, your free hit, and your second wild card. If you haven't used that yet, Lee, when are the kind of key dates that we need to be thinking of those for?
Yeah, still a lot of uncertainty with FA Cup games to play, but I think the general consensus is that game week 31 is going to be quite difficult to navigate with quite a few teams blanking. All eyes on Stamford Bridge in the next round of the FA Cup. If Chelsea beat Liverpool and Liverpool therefore play in game week 31 and go out of the FA Cup, it's going to be a bit easier to navigate that game week because a lot of us will have 3 Liverpool players and we can just leave them in our teams.
Right.
If Liverpool go through in the Cup, of course they don't play in game week 31, it's more difficult. The free hit chip might come into play then.
And we're likely to have, what, 2 double game weeks later on in the season?
Yeah, and again, so 37 I think is looking like the big double game week, although there will be other double game weeks as well. So
right. My
advice would be if you can hold on to your chips and use them aggressively to attack those game weeks with the doubles you're going to benefit.
Right, so ideally don't play any yet. Although,
don't
you know...
what I did, essentially.
The wild card can get played at the time that's right for your team, Duncan.
Yeah, although I do still have my triple captain, as I think you do, Tom.
Oh, okay.
I certainly do, yeah.
Right.
Excellent. Well, next up, let's have a look at some of your answers to this week's Wednesday question, which was with various teams blanking in game week 28 and Son now out through injury... who are you looking at in midfield to get you through the game week? Headaches ahead for fantasy managers. Game week 28 with four teams blanking. Sun is out as well. What are we going to do? What are the midfield options? Yousaf says Richarlison is the obvious one. Form and exceptional player. Bruno Fernandes, Dele Alli, brackets should be on pens. Those are decent shouts, aren't they? Well, Dele Alli we've discussed a little bit already, but Richarlison?
Not for me, no, simply because I think, obviously, we've talked about the Everton fixtures before, and there's value up front for Everton if you do want to invest in their attack. For me, I think it's Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Richarlison, 8.1. He's in good form, and we know he's got a bit of FPL pedigree. Not for me. I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Don't fancy a double up.
Okay. If you didn't have Dominic Calvert-Lewin, would you fancy him?
No, I don't think I would.
No,
I don't think so. It's just not a trustworthy player, in my opinion. He's one of those players that on his day can be good, but if he doesn't fancy playing well that day, Martial, actually.
Is that the old Richarlison?
Ancelotti does seem to have wrung out a bit more consistency from Everton. So I would be tempted by Richarlison.
Did you get him in on your wildcard, Tom?
Didn't know, so yeah, that's a good point.
All right, Tom, Richarlison for you?
No, similar to Lee, I've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, right. And given Everton's slightly sticky-looking fixtures, I would be reluctant to go into that with two Everton forwards. I'm going to stick with DCL.
Felix says he's going to double up on Mane and Salah once more while Son is injured. So you've obviously got a bit of cash lying around because it's a bit of a price leap, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit. I mean, I think Mane's an interesting one, actually, because obviously pretty much everyone had him for a long time. But then he got injured and myself included got rid of him.
Well, we all moved to Salah if we weren't already there, I think.
Well, true, but then it makes Mane a sort of semi-differential at the moment. So
you'd have a hell of a headache picking the captaincy, wouldn't you, each week?
Yeah. Particularly with Liverpool's pretty kind fixes over the next five games, Mane could be a chance to steal a march on a few of your rivals.
Right, but pretty much everyone's already got three Liverpool players, haven't they? Would you get rid of another Liverpool player just to bring in Mane?
Well, I've got Robertson and Trent at the back. So, yeah, one of those probably Robertson. So. But then that would necessitate more juggling. And as we've discussed, my wriggle room for that has vanished.
I see. Nilesh suggests Barnes, and I'm guessing you mean Harvey Barnes, or Lucas Moura, although Spurs could implode now. Well, it's very true. Harvey Barnes, though, Duncan, is in your team.
Yep, he was one of my now famous wildcard adjustments.
Did you pick him or was it the dog?
That was the dog, that one, excellent. So fair play to Stan. But
more like.
Hey! It's a dog. Yeah, his bark's worse than his bite. But yeah, he's returned in his last four appearances for Leicester. So, you know, he seems to have picked up where Madison's faded.
Okay. Dash says Pepe with an exclamation mark. Pepe, what do you think? Tom, you're big on Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he impressed against Newcastle last weekend. I think 17 points, which was his biggest return of the season. And he is looking more like the player that we thought he was going to look like when Arsenal signed him. But having said that, you look at the last five game weeks, or the last four game weeks when he's played, and prior to that 17-point haul against Newcastle, his returns were 1, 2, and 2.
Right.
So he's not particularly consistent. So I'm not sure he's trustworthy yet. And plus 9.1 million.
He's also not started a lot of games either. He's been benched a few times. So the rotation risk there for 9.1, I don't think is anything that's palatable.
Sobo mentions Pepe or Traore, but also for game week 28, Snodgrass. Wow, that's unexpected. Sam was big on Snodgrass, and we poo-pooed her.
Oh, yeah, I was on that show.
There was chuckling and ribaldry and that kind of thing. So, but lo and behold, Robert Snodgrass proved to be the asset of the weekend.
Yeah, popped up. I think she's unceremoniously dumped him from the team now, though. So he was a one-week flirtation that kind of paid off, and he's gone now. So I'm not sure that I would want to bring him in for game week 28 myself.
Game week 28 sees West Ham at home to Southampton, just so you know, who curiously seem to do better when they're on their travels than they do at St Mary's. So you might want to factor that one in, Sobo. Well, we've got some other interesting choices coming up next as we start to explore this week's essential differentials. Essential differential, everybody. Nobody else has got them. You do. So ka-ching as those points roll in and you rocket up your league. Lee, who have you got for us?
So bear with me on this one. Bear with me. Alan Saint-Maximin from Newcastle.
Nice.
Often I come on the podcast and I do a lot of research about stats and shots in the box and what have you. None of that this time. This is an eye test pick. I really like Alan Saint-Maximin. I also like his Twitter account. If you're not following him on there, it's good entertainment. Not a lot to shout about. Assisted in game week 23 in a win over Chelsea. But outside of that, not a lot to go on. However,
he always looks dangerous, though.
However, yes. And I did watch him in that first half, in particular in that Arsenal game. Now, Arsenal obviously got a bit of a rocket at half-time, came out and won 4-0. But in that first half, could easily have been a goal down to Newcastle. And he looks like the danger man for Newcastle, if anyone's going to do it. They're also up against Crystal Palace this game week, who have got, I think, one win since game week 16. So Hodgson's boys in terrible form.
They've just got great fixtures all the way coming up. Newcastle, Crystal Palace away, then Burnley at home, Southampton away, Sheffield United at home, and Villa at home before Bournemouth away. So plenty of potential there. Mm. Nice shout. 5.4 million is the price for Alan Saint-Maximin. 0.4% ownership.
Yes.
And he's a midfielder who plays in a pretty advanced role as well.
He's a little bit out of position, yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Nice. Tom, I think you're going to shock a few people with your suggestion.
Yes, Hector Bellerin.
What?
Of Arsenal. Only 0.9% ownership, so a true differential. 5.4 million, so a decent price compared to some of the more expensive midfielders. He's returned with 8, 8 and 6 points in the last three game weeks. Consecutive clean sheets for Arsenal. The one caveat is that Arsenal blank in game week 28, yeah. So obviously you're not going to get many points from him there.
But that form makes it worth having him on the bench.
I mean, he is the in-form defender in the game currently. Given that he's back to fitness and his Arsenal's first choice right back, he is going to play a lot of football between now and the end of the season, so it might be an idea to get him in now and bank on future returns.
Right, and if you do get him in and just keep him on the bench for game week 28, the fixtures look great after that. Interesting shout. Hey Duncan, who have you got for us?
Well, we've got quite a fashionista trend going through, haven't we? We've gone Saint-Maximin, right. Bellerin, so I've gone for on that tip Harry Maguire, perhaps less so. But he obviously scored that goal away at Chelsea. That was his first Premier League goal for United. Obviously a pretty big goal threat at Leicester, but hasn't really shown that at United. Although he has got the same XG roughly as Van Dijk, but obviously hasn't done as much with it.
You think that's all going to change though?
Well, now that Bruno Fernandes is there, an excellent deliverer of the ball, and those two look like, particularly at set pieces, obviously at corners, look like they could link up pretty well. So it might be even worth bringing both of them in. If you can manage it.
One or two options then as you tinker with your team then, listeners, ahead of the deadline, 11:30, remember, Saturday morning. Up next, we'll hear what the panel are going to be doing to their starting 11s. Right, let's hear about your transfers and your captains. We've had a lot of time to think about what to do with our teams through the almost endless game week 26. Tom, what's going to happen?
I was planning to make changes. I was going to go Madison out, Son in.
Yeah.
But obviously, now that Son is out, I've had to have a rethink. I was considering, and I'm still considering, bringing in Anthony Martial for Madison, given that Man United are at home to Watford on Saturday, and he's coming off the back of that goal at Chelsea. But with various missing fixtures in game week 28 just around the corner, I think I'll probably hold off on making any transfers and then use my two free transfers in game week 28 to just sort of account for those gaps.
You're
going to
roll over, all right. Duncan, you rolling over transfer-wise?
Yeah, obviously the wild card has left me in a delightful position. I mean, for me, I brought in Sander Berge as a bit of a maverick. Let's see if he hits the ground running, which he hasn't really yet. But it meant that I put Lundstrom on the bench, and obviously he got 7 points, which I missed out on.
So. Sorry about that, Duncan.
Well,
anyway, no transfers from you. What about you, Lee?
I was very tempted to, with the wildcard in my pocket, to go full Duncan Alexander and smash the wildcard with Alan Saint-Maximin in, but not going to do that. Going to have a view to the future and bring in Willy Bolly, I think, for Rico. I think Rico's been in my team for some time. I think he's done
too
his
long.
Time. Yeah, he's done his time.
Yeah, I'm after some Wolves action myself, and that Bolly does sound so very, very tempting. As for the captain's armband, well, there's a certain fixture involving Liverpool and West Ham that I think is going to dominate the conversation here. Lee, who wears the armband for you?
Yes, it's Mo Salah. But a shout out to Danny Ings as well. Home to Aston Villa could be a very good shout.
Ooh. That's true. If he starts, because that's been a little bit of an X factor with Ings of late, isn't it? The fact that he keeps getting benched by Hasenhüttl or rested at least. What about you, Tom?
Also Mo Salah. Bit of a no-brainer, I think, this week.
Is anyone going to not say Mo Salah, Duncan?
Yes. Ooh, I am going to... Yeah, maybe. Safe choice, Trent Alexander-Arnold, because he's home to West Ham, and he had a pretty bad game in the Champions League. I think he'll be looking to make amends. Left field choice, Dean Henderson, home to Brighton. Brighton do have shots, but they're not very good shots, so Henderson could rack up, you know, a few saves, look quite good, but ultimately keep a clean sheet. So, TBC.
Right.
Probably Trent.
They're both very interesting shouts, and well, very solid choices, actually. Duncan, much for us to ponder. If you're looking for some more advice on shaping your team, then get across to PremierLeague.com for the FPL show and FPL FYI. Remember, the deadline is 11:30 Saturday morning. So whatever dog-based or canine-based transfer activity you're looking to do, get it done by then. Many thanks to Duncan, Tom and Lee for being with us today, and you, listener, for joining in too. We'll be back same time next week. Best of luck with your game week in the meantime.